You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hello and welcome to the New Churches Podcast. This is your host today, Trevin Wax, and I'm joined again by my co-host, Todd Atkins.
What?
Todd is Director of Leadership at Lifeway Christian Resources. He served as an executive pastor at McLean Bible Church. He's no stranger to the podcast here. And we have another episode on reading.
Yes, we do.
So we talked in a previous episode about how to read a lot when you can't afford books.
Right.
Which is, you know, a perennial problem for people maybe financially stretched.
Usually. Now, some people are more studious than others, and some people enjoy reading more than others. So we can't make too many assumptions. But yes, there's a lot of people that want to read more, and they don't have access to great books.
Yeah, that's right. So if you didn't hear that episode, I encourage you to go back and to listen to that, because we did talk about some ways that you can get at the resources you need.
Yes.
Of course, I would be remiss to not mention at New Churches the fact that we have lots of free resources available at newchurches.com. And we've got courses available, articles, some ebooks, all sorts of things. That's one way that you can get some free resources in case you're asking that question. But today, we're not talking about being financially strapped. We're talking about time. How do you read when you're really busy?
Oh, and man.
That's the question. So I'm assuming everybody that's listening knows and believes leaders are readers. If you want to be a leader, you've got to be a reader. And a lot of people are probably listening and saying, I would read more, I just don't have time. So today we're going to talk about what that looks like. And so I'm just curious, I'll start off with you, Todd.
Yeah.
How do you make reading a priority? What do you do?
Well, okay. So, you know, the higher you go in leadership, the more is often demanded of you, or at least you feel that way. And, you know, this is not a podcast about leadership per se, but one of the things that you have to do is you need to develop other people really well so you can hand stuff off enough
so that you have time.
Enough that you have time. And the higher you go in leadership, the less decisions you should be making. You should only be making big decisions that are, you know, that only you can make that are, you know, key. The rest of the time, the culture, the framework, the things that you've set into motion, it should be easy, obvious, and strategic for everybody. Hey, based on our vision and values, based on the objectives we have this year, I can make this decision. I don't even have to have it tomorrow.
But so, being well-read helps you make that decision.
Exactly. So you often can't put yourself in the position to make the best decisions unless you're reading well.
Yeah.
And so making time to read well, I just want to say, is incredibly important for you to stay current, for you to also dip back into the same book that you may have read before and read it again if it had a massive perspective on your leadership and reading. Yeah. Okay. So that being said, how I find time to read, there's a couple of different things I would say. First, I know a lot of guys that will be reading several things at once. I am not that guy.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
I will pick up, I'll pick up a book. I may be in two books at once, but I'm not like I'm in five books at once.
At the same time?
No.
Yeah.
Unless I'm doing a deep dive in like systems thinking or something, then I'll have like five books on systems thinking and I might flip back and forth.
So same topic that you're
same topic.
Do.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And that's the other thing, like be intentional with your reading. And make sure that your reading matters. And this is, I know, where we would also disagree, Trevin, but I don't read a lot of fiction. I don't read a lot of extra stuff. I don't.
Yeah, but you're not.
I go to get. I don't go to look around. So by.
You're a hunter-gatherer.
I have a purpose. Yeah. And my purpose
is.
It's
like me going to Kroger. I have my list. I'm going in for this and that and maybe an extra thing.
Yeah, totally.
Not browsing.
So when you have that, then it's easier to schedule time to read or periods of time in the day that are natural for you to read. also, it's really helpful for your family to read as well. So in a perfect world, you've got a culture of reading already built into your family. And that's what I have because I have homeschool and we're classical education people.
Yeah, sure, and have a lot of books in the house. And
massive amount of books in the house. Yeah. And so you're, yeah.
Yeah, no,
I'm at the point now where I'm like, why are you reading? I'm like, what are you reading in Omnibus? Or why are you reading this book? Or I see a book that my 13-year-old's reading and I'm like, I'm concerned about what you're reading.
That's funny. No, that's funny. So I'm definitely, I think there's a lot of good tips there. I'm definitely one who I've got multiple books going on at once because I have books in different places. So this is one of the things I would encourage people to do when they think they don't have time for reading is you need to make use of space well. And you should nudge yourself to reading. So, you know, Andy Crouch talks about this in the TechWise Life. Like, they don't have the television in their main living room.
Right.
They have, like, I don't know, some instrument, like a grand piano or something. I can't remember what it, like, no one, and I realize most people listen to this, you're not going to have a grand piano in your living room.
Right.
But it was basically saying, yeah. and I'm not saying everyone go out and be like, Andy, we definitely have a TV in our living area. But the reason I'm bringing that up is he's talking about what you do space-wise to nudge you in a particular direction. If there's a TV in the main place in the living room, that's going to be generally what you gravitate to when you're there. Right. Whereas if there's a fireplace or if there's a, you know, a craft table or if there's a piano or a guitar, like I have my guitar out in my office so that at certain times when I see my guitar, I want to play a little bit. So you can do the same thing for reading. So for me, like I've got my, a little desk upstairs where I do my devotional reading, like my devotional books and I've got particular things that when I pass by that desk, well, you know, different times of day when I'm, you know, walking through the bedroom or I go to the bathroom or something, like that nudges me. Hey, I probably got 10 minutes to like keep working through a book. I've got a different book that's like downstairs like close to my office. I've got books on my Kindle that I read when I'm working out. Like if I were to read only one book at a time, I wouldn't be able to shift, for example, from a physical book to, I mean, unless I get both, which I'm a little too cheap to do that. See the last episode. So, I've got certain books that are pretty easy to read on a Kindle. Fiction's easy. Historical biographies are easy on a Kindle. Like your deep theological dives. Right. Much harder to read in my mind on a Kindle. But then you got audiobooks that you can, you know, when you're in the car, if you want to listen to. I'm more of a podcast person.
Right.
Than audiobooks. I think you would say the same.
Definitely.
Would you count audiobooks as reading?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Your way through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, there are ways that you can nudge yourself into a reading posture where like just reading is really, it's just part of the day, reading different times, different places, different things.
Okay. So let's talk for a minute about this. I'm curious with you, are there people that you follow that are writers that you read their book, but you also read their blog? Because there's some guys that you're like, oh, I know what his next book's going to be because
of how he's blogging.
How he's blogging and going up. Because that, in my opinion, is also another form of reading that I want to make sure I'm doing daily. I'm keeping up with news. I'm keeping up with articles.
Oh, sure,
but
yeah.
I have certain people that I follow, like John Berger. I thought his blogs that led up to the book Contagious were actually better than
the book.
Contagious.
Which some of those leadership books, this is everyone, we're talking shop here. But leadership books, this is a common thing. I don't know how many times I read a leadership book and I'm like, that was a book that was better as an article. Have you not said, it's because like it's padded.
Well, yeah, because it is padded.
Stats, illustrations, like, you know, the article that's
where that
like,
book should have been an article or a white paper.
Yes. Now there are some leadership books where it really,
totally.
It definitely is a building upon a great article and what, yes. So, you know, some people are like anti-magazine,
right?
And anti, like, you know, just read books, not magazine. I think that's short-sighted.
I do too.
I think magazines help you know what books to focus on. Like if you want to be selective, get good magazines, book reviews. It's what helps. And you can get the gist. Sometimes you get enough of a gist of a book to know you don't have to read that book. I've had that happen multiple times where I like, read a couple of articles about it, read the author, maybe an excerpt. And I'm like, you know, I think I kind of know what he's going to say. I mean, I should probably move on to a different book. But magazines are one way, and blogs, blogs and magazines are one way of, you know, keeping yourself informed. And that counts as reading too. And that's not books, but definitely keeps you informed.
Okay. So we're talking about time to read.
Yeah.
I think it's important, or I don't know. I'm curious. We've known each other for a long time and know each other well. We know we both like to read, all of that. I don't know if we've ever dug too far into how we read, because there are some books that I spend a different amount of time on.
Totally. Yeah.
Than others. So yes. I'm curious about, how do you go about reading a book?
Yeah, well, that the question is, what book are we talking about?
Okay, talk about the different types of books then, and how you read them.
And this is where I'm going to make the case that if you're a planter and you're listening to this, or a pastor, you should work some fiction into your diet, because the preaching is a work of imagination in a lot of ways. Communication is a work of imagination. So I get, Todd, fiction's not your guy. I probably read a lot more nonfiction than I read fiction. Same here. But really great novels or books that are like dealing with the human condition, or even just some fun fiction, there's different aspects of your mind that are activated by reading different genres of books. So I would recommend that. I generally, though, am going to read, if it's a nonfiction book, let's say it's theology or whatnot, I've got a 3x5 note card that I am using as a bookmark, also a reading help. And I use you know how a lot of people will put like a note card or a bookmark underneath the lines as they're moving down the text? I put it above the lines, not underneath. You will read faster.
Yeah.
If that thing is kind of like moving down the page, your eye is catching the next part of the text. So I use that, and then I always have a pencil in hand, and I'm underlining the like key things. Sometimes writing a little bit in the margins. I'm definitely a make some notes kind of person, because I'm doing that for my future self.
Right.
If it's the kind of book I'm going to wind up picking up, it helps me follow the argument, but it also is the kind of book that, if I need to dip back into this, let me help future Trevin out by what I'm doing. So that's one way of reading more in a less amount of time. I don't use a pencil when I'm reading fiction. I just use the highlighter function if I'm right on the Kindle, of course. But but I think that's, you know, people have different styles of reading, how they read, what they mark up, what they don't. I think you got to find what works for you. But for me, that's one way of moving through a book and doing a little bit of what you talked about, where you're getting in there to glean what's new, what's wise, you can use it.
So for me, the pages in the front and the back of the book are blank for a reason. I use those. I
like
also,
yeah.
So I'm like, here's the quote, here's the page number. I mark things and dog ear things and circle things and thoughts.
You know who you're like?
Garrett Geiger.
Eric Geiger, yes. Also,
we came through at the same time and read
just
together.
Last week, I was at the Wade Center at Wheaton College, and I got to hold C.S. Lewis's copy of G.K. Chesterton's Orthodoxy, and it's the exact same thing.
Oh, let's close in prayer, guys.
In the back of the book, in his own handwriting, are the quotes and the page number. It's like his little index at the back of, this is what stood out to me, here's how quickly I can get back to it.
Oh, yeah.
So, Todd, you, C.S. Lewis.
There we go.
Genius right there. Yeah.
Two of the same, two peas
and Eric
in a pod.
We'll throw Eric in there.
We'll throw Eric in there. Yeah. Okay, so the way I would approach a lot of books, and this is going to sound probably horrible to you, but I'll go through, I'll usually read most of the first chapter for sure. Then after that, when I get to the chapter, I'm going to read the intro to the chapter until I figure out, okay, this guy has fluff in the front of his chapters and it doesn't matter, or no, it's fluff, it's not fluff in the front of the chapter, it really sets up or illustrates or gives a visual, you know, for this. But then I'm going through, usually reading the first sentence and last sentence of every paragraph.
Yeah.
And then if those are good, I'll read the whole paragraph. But my brain, because I'm I'm an old man now, Trevin. I'm 46. And this is how I read a book now. And it's like ingrained in me. I can't not. I can't not read a book in that way for the most part. Now, unless it is I'm doing a deep dive on something and it's academic, then the academic books I actually do read a lot more deeply and almost word for word, which is probably opposite of most people. But if it's a business book, I just want to, sometimes I want to know, I just go straight to the bibliography.
Well, but it depends on how well you know the topic, like, or how many books you've read, like in a similar
vein. I'm in the leadership vein. That's so you've obviously read, when you're reading somebody, you're like, this is Michael Porter. Yeah. This is this person. This
and for me, like Edgar popular Schein. Theology is like that. Yeah. So like I can get through a Christian Living book, someone publishes something, I can get through a Christian Living book pretty quickly because of that same kind of thing. Like I can look at the first sentence of a paragraph, the last sentence of a paragraph, kind of just skim the middle part. Or another thing you can do is read the intro and the conclusion to each chapter to see where they're going. And then you kind of you can go back and read the rest of the chapter faster because you already and you can see, did they actually kind of move where they're going. Some people I'm sure are listening and they're asking the question, okay, you're helping me read faster, but I just don't have time to even do that. What are some ways that you make time to do this? There's a lot of books out there. Yes, we're giving you some ideas as to how to read books quicker, and not every book you want to read fast. I mean, obviously there are some books you really want to savor. You want to go slowly. We don't want to skim the Bible, for example. Right. So, but there are, we definitely want to read more and we want to work that into our schedule. So what are some ways that you have intentionally made time over the years? And then I'll share a few of those myself.
Okay. So we have intentionally, I think you mentioned, I don't know if you only have one TV in your house, but you're very specific where you put those. We only have one TV in our house. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's really, I would say, about setting yourself up to, in a world of distraction, setting yourself up to read well. So unless you're reading on the device, you should not have a device. Like I don't have my phone sitting next to me when I'm reading, because I'm not disciplined. I'm not disciplined enough not to have, here, it's calling my name, or it goes bzzz, and I go,
I have to look at that.
I have to look at that. No, Todd, you're reading. Keep reading. Okay, I got to look.
So eliminating distractions.
Eliminating distractions is massive. You had talked about having space specifically to set up to do that. I would say I have a couple of different spaces that you'll normally find a book in. And then if I'm driving, it's usually either a podcast or a book. I'm not listening to,
not listening to music pop. Not.
No. Yeah.
No, no BTS and Todd Atkins car.
No. Yeah. Occasionally I'll do NPR until they say something that I can't stand so much. I turn them off for a few weeks. But the majority of the time, it's going to be either audio or podcast.
Yeah, so you're taking
I'm taking advantage of whatever times I have because I only have so much. You only have so much time to give. So if you're in ministry, your ministry is life and life is ministry. And I'm sorry, but your family matters the most and what you're doing in your role as a pastor or church leader is the second most important thing. So
yeah, no,
everything else goes out.
You've got to make your own development a priority. And reading is a big part of that. I people sometimes ask me about my reading habits or practices, and because they know I read a lot and they want to read as much as I do. And I often tell people, I'm a writer. I have to it's like a workout in the mind. Like I have to be consuming a certain amount of calories to be able to have the output that I've got. So I have to read a little more than probably a lot of the pastors listening. And that's fine. Like everyone's got to find their own giftedness, their own their own sense of calling. But I will tell people, you do have more time than you realize. Like
look at your phone, it'll tell you how much time you spend.
I tell people, if you want to read well, if you want to read widely, if you want to read a lot, have a book nearby all the time. And then just even in some of the dead times, if you're waiting for a haircut at a doctor's appointment. I'm carrying my Kindle with me almost everywhere. Because you know, if I've got 10 minutes before, you know, the, I'm at the, you know, or I've got to get my, the tires, I can either, the tires change on my car or something. I can scroll Twitter or Facebook, or I have my Kindle. I could knock out a chapter or two of a book. So, I mean, same thing, like when I work out, I do that with my Kindle. I've got a exercise machine. I use that, you know, the commute with audiobooks. You know, in the evening, so usually in my, even in my family, like we do all sorts of stuff together, but at some point everybody's kind of off doing their own thing. So if you've got some time, you know, just sit down and read a little bit.
You just reminded me, I did a 5 leadership questions with, Karen Swallow Pryor, you know, when she wrote, it was Reading Well.
Or on Reading Well. It's a great book.
Which one had all the different books in it?
That's
classics.
The one, yeah.
Okay. So, and at the time, my oldest was, this is like 4 years ago or something. At the time, he was at an age where we just went through, we're going through the great books, classic books, you know, whatever. And so it was like, oh, well, we're going to read Moby Dick, or we're going to read, you know, whatever. And I can't remember, there was a couple of books that was like, she's like, I can't believe you're reading that. To that. Oh, but that was the way I worked in. I did get some fiction in that way. You know, I did get some things in that were probably good for me.
And you don't need to rush those either. You know, a lot of those classics were done as serialized in magazines and newspapers. They weren't even, you weren't supposed to sit down and like, I don't know how anyone would gobble down Moby Dick anyway, in like a day or two. Those books were meant to be read a chapter or two at a time. And that's another thing I tell people, if you just commit to reading 20 minutes a day, just 20 minutes a day where you set everything down and you do it, you will work through more than a dozen books in a year. You really will. So it's not as hard as people think. It's just the prioritizing of the time, eliminating distractions. And anyway, we could talk about reading for a long time. I hope this has been helpful for those of you who are in the midst of church planting or thinking about church planting or are pastoring currently in ministry in various ways, wanting to make time for your own intellectual and personal development through reading. It's vital. And Todd, thanks for joining me on here to be able
to talk
about
that. Anytime.
If you're listening, I do encourage you to take a look at newchurches.com. Again, lots of free resources there for you, including some ebooks. So definitely want to make use of those resources. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll see us next time.
We believe every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. Becoming a church that cares well for the abused brings together top experts from various fields to help leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios in your church, school, or ministry. Check out this free video training as well as a free handbook over at newchurches.com.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.